I was talking before about the call that I get as pastor that sometimes burdens my heart, breaks my heart. While that is tumultuous, the personal calls are higher on the emotional scale, and we got one of those. I got one of those on March 11th, 1986, a call that my father doesn't want to get. Chris called me and told me that our 7-year-old baby boy had been hit by a car. And they were rushing him to Children's Hospital in downtown Pittsburgh. And so I raced downtown. And when I walked into the room, there were it had to be 15, 20 people that were frantically working around a gurney. And I knew that my baby was on that gurney. And they were racing to take head scans and to stop bleeding. And he had a huge knot on his head that was frightening to look at. It was just a scary, scary, scary situation. And fortunately, he didn't have any head injuries, but his femur in his leg had been severed, and so they were going to transfer him to a hospital that was closer to our home where he would have surgery the next day, and he did have surgery, and for months, for a month he was in the hospital recovering from that surgery, and then for more months he was in a full body cast. You know, and it's moments like that that you deal with the reality of life. And as I said before, God doesn't only give us saving grace. God not only secures our eternity, but God gives us sustaining grace to get between now and eternity. Do you get me? The fact of the matter is that God not only sweeps the past clean, but he also, in his love, embraces me today and my tomorrow, this side of eternity. In fact, the Bible tells us that God always finishes what he starts. Always. It says in the Bible, God who began the good work within you, namely began his saving work with you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. In other words, God will work with us each and every day of our lives until it is finished, until we stand face to face with him in eternity. And it doesn't say, I want you to notice, that God might finish it. It doesn't say that God has a desire to finish it and he hopes it'll finish it. It says God will finish it. And what does that mean? It means that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you've opened yourself up to God and you've said, God, be number one in my life. Lord, be my shepherd. You're going to make it to heaven. There's no doubt about that. Case is closed. Done deal. Finished product. But there is an in-between grace. And that's what we're focusing on today. It is sustained confidence as we walk through life. Notice what David the shepherd, the sheep, says. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely, surely. Surely goodness and love. Now that word love in the original Hebrew is the same word that describes love in the New Testament. In the Greek word agape, which is the word that describes the essence of God. It is God's unconditional, unending, unbridled love for us. Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life. That's unshakable confidence. Truly, in the 23rd Psalm, the most operative word is what that little girl said. Surely. Surely. That little girl kept wanting to say, surely, as she recited the psalm. And David says here, surely. Surely, he is absolutely convinced that no matter what happens in this life, he can count on the fact that goodness and love will follow him all the days of his life. He is convinced, surely. See, unknowingly, she was emphasizing the most important word in this psalm. Surely. Unshakable confidence. Surely. It is the same confidence that Paul had in Romans chapter 8 when he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Surely. That is living life with unshakable confidence. Do you think that's a gift? To be able to walk through each and every step of life and even face what may happen this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. David, along with Paul, is absolutely convinced that no matter what tomorrow may bring, no matter what challenge arises, no matter what circumstances arise, no matter what happens, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Look at 1 Peter 5, when it says, "My purpose," Peter's purpose, "is to write, to encourage us and to assure us that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens." No matter what happens. That's the unshakable confidence that we can live with when the Lord is our shepherd. No matter what happens, God's grace is going to be with you. No matter what happens, it's going to be there. It's there to strengthen your life successfully, no matter what happens. Now let's look at this in depth a little bit, especially coming from the heart of David and from the life of David. When do I need this goodness and love? And there are three things in life that cause us to stumble, and David knew these intimately. First, goodness and love will follow me when I'm tempted. When I'm tempted to be less than God has created me to be. You know, we want to be a saint, but we also want to feel every sensation experienced by sinners. We're kind of in this dilemma in life. We want to be innocent and pure, but we also want to experience and taste all that life has available. We want to serve those who are less fortunate and have a simple lifestyle, but we also want all the comforts of the rich. We want the depth accorded to us through solitude, but we also don't want to miss anything. We want to pray, but we also want to watch television, read, talk to friends, go out. It's a small wonder that in these lives of ours that we often are tired and pathologically overextended. The fact of the matter is it's called temptation, to be less than we were meant to be. And temptation is the first thing that causes us to stumble. David knew that because when he was tempted, it led to sin. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5, "Watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whomever he wills." See, I've memorized that verse in a different version. "Take a firm stance against him and be strong in the faith." The Bible says that we are all tempted. Everybody's tempted. You'll never outgrow temptation. And the Bible says that even Jesus was tempted. Now, that has some good news to it. Because the fact of the matter is, if Jesus was tempted and he never sinned, which the Bible says, then it means that it is not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. And some Christians, when they're tempted, they go, "Oh my goodness, how could I have ever thought that one? How could I have ever been lured to think that, to say that, to do that?" And the result is, I'm some bad, nasty person. Because that went through my mind. The fact of the matter is we can't control all the thoughts that go through our minds, but we can control and we can choose whether we're going to dwell on them. You can stop the birds from going over your head. You can't stop the birds from going over your head, but you in your hair, them from nest in your hair. Surely. 1 Corinthians 10 says, remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different than what others experience, and God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. This is God's goodness and love. This is an amazing promise. It says here that God will never allow more temptation on you than he puts in, than the power that he puts in you to bear up with it. When you say, I just couldn't help myself, the fact of the matter is you're not telling the truth. God says, I will provide goodness and love to you, which will always give you an escape. It may mean turning the channel. It may mean running out the door. It may mean changing the way that you're thinking, but he will provide a way out if we'll take it. Goodness and love will follow me when I'm tempted. That's not all. Goodness and love will follow me when I'm tired. Tomorrow may bring exhaustion. Sometimes I'm not tempted. Sometimes I'm just tired. Life is often exhausting. It requires a lot of strength, a lot of energy to live life, especially when you're trying to do the right thing rather than the easiest thing. And oftentimes trying to do the right thing is more exhausting than doing the easiest thing. You can coast through life doing the easiest thing, but when you're coasting, you're always going downhill. You do know that. On the other hand, when you try to do the right thing, even though it's not the easiest thing, it requires energy. It could be that it is exhausting because when you're at work, you're the only Christian there. And that environment is exhausting. Sometimes I don't want to be nice to my family. I want to be cranky. It's exhausting to be nice. Sometimes I don't want to be nice to that clerk. I want to be grouchy. And it's exhausting to be nice. Where do you get the energy to do the right thing? The reason why some of you are tired is because you're trying to live the Christian life and that doesn't work. You're trying to be like Jesus. You're trying to do good. You're trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You're trying to be a person of integrity. You're trying. And guess what? Trying is exhausting. People say, it is hard to be a Christian today. It's not hard. It's impossible. The only perfect person that ever lived was, surely, Jesus. He's the only one who ever lived the Christian life perfectly. And so what we need to do is, instead of trying to be like Jesus, is to let Jesus be Jesus in us. To receive him and allow him to mold us and shape us and to live through us rather than trying real hard. Stop trying and trying, and we need to start trusting and trusting. Jesus, come into my life. Work through my life. Mold my tongue. Mold my thoughts. Lord Jesus, come in, and do your work in us. The Bible says, for God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. That's the only way that we can live a rich and full life, is by allowing him to work through us. Goodness and love will follow me when I'm tempted. Goodness and love will follow me when I'm tired. Goodness and love I need when I'm troubled. Jesus said it clearly. We've said it many times. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Don't be shocked by it. It's the fact of living in this world. Goodness and love will follow me when I'm troubled. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He said it. Expect it. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be blown away by it. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have obstacles. You'll have situations that you can't handle. And the fact is, God says, I will give you power. Goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. Now, the most difficult kinds of trouble to handle are the troubles, the problems of life that are unplanned, that are unrelenting, that are undeserved. I mean, there are some things in life, in my life, difficulties that have happened in my life that are my fault. They are directly at my hand, my choice, my stupid mistakes. This is who we are, prone to wander, slow to learn. You've heard it. We live it. Many of my difficulties are because of me. And quite frankly, I don't mind the problems that I created. I figure that's par for the course. I did it, and it's part of life to live those consequences and to seek to allow God to bring good out of that so that that's not the final word. The most difficult problems in life to handle are the ones that seem on the surface to be unfair, that we're innocent party, that something has happened to us. We didn't plan it. We don't feel like we deserved it. We didn't ask for it. We didn't cause it. Those are the ones that are difficult to handle, aren't they? Where we feel like we're the victim. And my goodness, I really didn't deserve this. And it's at that point that we need to focus on the shepherd. Focus on his sustaining power, his goodness and love. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, don't be afraid, for the shepherd says, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Look at all the things that God has promised to do for you. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to help you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to save you. That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So what do you do when you can't fix an unfixable problem? What do you do when you can't solve an unsolvable riddle? What do you do when you can't change an unchangeable circumstance? What do you do as you walk into an unknown tomorrow? You throw yourself into the mode of knowing that the shepherd is walking with you and that goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. Surely. Surely. How do I get it? How do I allow the shepherd to work in my life? You do four things. The Bible says you call out, you fill up, you take in, you hold on. Look at this. It says first that we need to call out for the shepherd. Call out for God. You know, in our stressful situation, we need to call out for God. I don't know how many times I have heard when people have gone through stressful situations, they say this phrase, I don't know how someone without God could live this, could survive this. Because it's in those moments where God is all. God is all. Call out for God. Surely. Somebody's calling out for God. Mark Smith was a 33-year-old lecturer at Cambridge University, and he was kayaking in southern England off the coast, and he was capsized in treacherous waters, and clinging to his craft, he reached for his cell phone. Thank God for the modern wonder of cell phones, true? He reached for his cell phone, and his first inclination was to call his father. Now, it didn't matter that his father was at work training British troops in Dubai, 3,500 miles away. But when the father got the call, he relayed his son's mayday to the Coast Guard installation that was just very near. It was less than a mile away from where he was. And within 12 minutes, a helicopter retrieved Smith. Like this kayaker, when we are in need, our first impulse should be to call out for the father, to call out for the shepherd, to cry out to God, to cry out for his help. As long as we pretend to be self-sufficient, we short-circuit God's power in our lives. We need to admit our inadequacy and to call out for the shepherd, because surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives with the shepherd. God, I can't handle this. And we cry out for God's help. The Bible says, God gives grace to the humble. So give yourselves completely to God. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Notice who gets grace. Notice who gets goodness and love. The humble. The person that says, you know, I am not God. I cannot handle everything on my own, and I know that. I need the shepherd. You draw near to God. You pray to him. You pray earnestly, fervently, passionately, with integrity, with emotion. Say, God, this hurts, and I need your help. Help! Surely. We need to call out for God. Secondly, the Bible says we need to fill up with God's word. The word of God is there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to fill us. We need to let it give us the energy that we need to keep going. This is God's word. It's not a book filled with nice thoughts, even though it is. This is God's word to us, his love letter to us. We need to get into the word of God every single day of our lives. We need to get a translation that we can understand. I mean, that's the first step. We need to get a Bible that we can understand. That when we read it, we don't say, I don't know what this is saying. I said before, the New Living Translation is my favorite. It's accurate and yet easy to read. Even the Message, which is a paraphrase, is a wonderful, wonderful way of absorbing God's word. David prays this. He says, I am completely discouraged. Revive me by watching TV, by going bowling. Revive me by going to the lake. It says, revive me by your word. There's a power in the word of God. There's some advice going around that I'm a little tired of hearing about. It's in every movie, every talk show, every book. It's a standard New Age solution to our difficulties. It started way back, 25, 30 years ago, with a little movie called Star Wars, where this wonderful philosophy birthed in popular form, where the great theologian Obi-Wan Kenobi says to young Luke Skywalker, when he's going through his crisis, the answers are within you. Luke, look inside yourself. Everybody's been spouting that for 25 years, like that's the big answer. You know, that's the New Age solution. All New Age, packaged in new ways. We saw it in our series, The New Age Isn't New. Turn your cell phones off, surely. Look within yourself, and the answer to your difficulty is there. That, the problem with that is when I looked within myself, yuck. You don't like what you see. I don't like what I see. I get depressed when I look inside. I don't need to look within myself. The answer is not within myself. If it was, guess what? I wouldn't have the problem. I'd be changed. Everything would be fine. It does not work to look within yourself. The fact of the matter is we need to look into the Word of God. We need to look into the Word of God. Here's a little illustration that's one of my favorites. Are you ready? Come with me. This is from my office. It's called a power strip. Now, I'm not an electrical genius, but I don't need directions for this. So I threw the directions away. So I plugged my computer in here, my monitor in here, my printer in here, and my radio in here. And then I've got all those plugged in, and then I've got one left, so I plug this one in there. You know what? This looks good. I had to take it back. It doesn't work. My computer doesn't work. My monitor doesn't work. My printer doesn't work. My radio won't play. I had to take it back. And they gave me a look like, moron. This cannot be plugged back into itself. It must be plugged into a power source. Do you get the point? Amen. Look within yourself. Wow, that's going to be successful. It must be plugged into the power source. Must be plugged into God. I need the Word of God to power my thinking, my viewing, my listening. And I just came up with that just as I'm thinking here, didn't I? Isn't that amazing? Surely. We need the Word of God to fill us and to guide us, because this is God's Word to us. Do we get it? Oh. And thirdly, we need to take in support from God's people. We need each other. God has given us the church, not for the building, not for the processes, not for the committees, not even for the potluck, even though that's very close. He's given us the church so that we can have one another, so that we can be a support to one another, we can encourage one another, we can pray for one another. That is God's avenue of surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes goodness and love comes through Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, and Frank, and Bill, and Mary, who encourage and love and support. The Bible says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. What is that law? Love your neighbor as yourself. He gives us one another. We need to take in support from God's people. That's how surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And fourthly, the Bible says, hold on to God's promises. This is the power of surely. This is the power of Psalm 23, is that David is saying that as he moves into the future, that he is holding on to tenaciously God's promises, and he believes that God is not a liar. Surely, certainly, I am absolutely convinced, because God is one who keeps his promises. How can he say with such assurance, surely, because he's taking God at his word? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, all waiting to be claimed, waiting for you to grab onto like blank checks. Here's one of them from Isaiah chapter 40. He says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Keep your hope in the Lord. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Do you need that assurance this morning? Where are you being discouraged and maybe feel like giving up? You know, are you being tempted? Are you being pounded and you can't get rid of a temptation? Surely, goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. Or are you tired and you think, I don't think that I can put one foot in front of another today? Surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. Or are you under tension? Are you in a trial right now or a trouble that you can't fix? No matter what you're going through, God's goodness and his love, his grace, his undying, unchanging love will sustain you if you allow the shepherd to love you, to lead you, to guide you, to nurture you. Paul said, I begged the Lord three times to take this problem away from me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My goodness and love are sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When you're going through a problem that you can't fix, as you move into your tomorrows, David, look up. Surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life if you'll trust the shepherd. Got it? Father, you are a wondrous God. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you give us opportunity to live life with unshakable confidence. Lord, as we've covered in previous weeks, that when we have invited you to be our shepherd, because you will not force yourself on us, when we have invited you to be our shepherd, then you guide us, so you sustain us, you feed us, you walk with us through life. And as we move through life, we can live with unshakable confidence that when we die, and each of us will, that we will live eternally with you. Lord, if there's anyone in this room right now that does not have that assurance, I would pray that you would move them to open their arms and to receive you as their shepherd, their personal Lord and Savior right now. That they would say this simple prayer, come into my life, Lord Jesus, be my shepherd, be my guide. I want to have that assurance, that eternal assurance, knowing that I will live eternally with you. Lord, move them to say that right now. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. And then give them the assurance that that is secure. But Lord, I'm thankful that you don't only care about our eternity, you care about our today and our tomorrow. And you want to walk with us each step of the way, and so much so that we can have unshakable confidence that goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, no matter what happens, that you are there to strengthen us, to guide us, to love us, and that nothing can remove that from our life story. And so, thank you, Lord. We just want to give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.